السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Ramadan Relief Network. I'm Taslima Ali with you until 11 a.m. on this 15th of Ramadan, mashallah. And of course, it's Tuesday, and that means that Sanzaf is in studio with us with all of your questions coming through. Remember that SMS line is 47913. That is 47913. Our WhatsApp line is 0722-380712. That is 0722-380712. And we welcome into studio Maulana Hasim Kasim, who is the National First Deputy Chairperson, as well as Sister Fairuz Muhammad, who is the National Chairperson of SANZAF. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
Wa
alhamdulillah. Maulana, I always get confused with this Faith Tinder and Booba story. Is it last night or is it today?
Today.
Is it today? Okay.
When
they say the Faith Tinder and though, now I'm thinking now the 15 starts after Mahrib.
Faith Tinder Puasa.
Okay.
Remember that there are two Sharia.
Okay.
This is a copy mother.
Okay. Alhamdulillah.
The copy mother. We come to Booba and Faith Tinder Puasa, there's a copy mother. Not that the two Hanafi Shafi Maliki, and there's a copy mother.
Alhamdulillah. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Fairuz Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa barakatuh, Taslima. How are you?
Oh, you can hear. The flu has decided to visit me, but as Maulana said, you know, it comes from Allah.
So,
Shifa, inshallah. Ameen. So today, I've been actually meeting so many people along the way, and I've been telling them about everything I've been learning in this slot with SANZAF. And so yesterday, I was driving in with my aunt, Rashida, and I was explaining to her about the way you had explained, Sister Fairuz, that we don't pay on our earnings, okay? So she wanted me to ask, in the event that they have an investment and it hasn't paid out yet, but you're like contributing to build it to something, are you required to pay on that? And in the event you get a payout, what's the ruling on that?
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen, Sayyidina wa biyyana wa maulana Muhammadin ajma'in, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yasir li amri wa ahlul uqadatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the listeners. Okay, so Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, just for the question in terms of investments. Mm. So we've discussed for the last couple of weeks exactly what determines and what is classified as a cartable wealth. Mm. And investments is definitely one of them. We have also indicated and discussed exactly when it is conditional on your wealth as to when you need to pay. So let's assume she's had the nisab, because if she's had the investment for some time and she's been paying to contributing it. Mm. towards it every single month, then clearly she's had it for quite some time. So okay, so let's assume she's had the nisab, because the nisab currently is around about 5,600 rand. But if you want to be specific as to what the nisab is, then just go on our website, sanzaf.org.za, or easier yet, to have it in the palm of your hand, there's an app called MyZakah.za, which you can download, mm-hmm. and it also gives you the nisab every single day. Mm-hmm. So investments is like I indicated, it's definitely part of your wealth. Mm. And if she's had the nisab last year as well as this year, then she will pay on the value of that nisab on her calculation date. So say, for example, today is her calculation date. She will then call her broker to ask, what is the value of my investment today? And then will pay 2.5% on that. Remember, the investment is just one part of wealth that you may have. She's got to add all her wealth together to get to the nisab. So she'll pay 2.5%. As long as that value of that investment equals the nisab, it doesn't matter if there's a payout. Because mm-hmm. she may have 100,000 rand in her investment, and the payout could be 10,000 rand annually or 20,000 annually, but that value is still equal to or greater than the nisab, then she will pay 2.5% of zakah on that.
Okay. And Maulana, another one that's frequently asked is about the gold. As we said, lots of, you know, in our community, when they get married, they get these gold sets and stuff. What is the ruling according to the madhabs?
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There's a difference between gold and jewelry.
Okay.
your gold and silver, which is your coins, that is
your mir and stuff.
Your gold is your gold. It is in a gold form.
Okay.
Jewelry is when it goes in a jewelry form. You have a personal jewelry, or you have your stock as jewelry. So first of all, let's take gold. Everybody says we have gold coins. Your Kruger Rand, your Guinea, you got for your mahar, you know, the half a Kruger. This is all gold.
Okay.
Everybody agrees you must pay zakat on the gold, on the value of the time of paying that part. And jewelry, you don't pay according to Yom Shafi, with your personal jewelry. Mm-hmm. When you wear it once a year, once everybody gets married, or once every 10 years, but it's personal jewelry, you don't pay zakat, it's all according to Yom Shafi. According to Abu Hanifa, the Hanafi madhab, you pay every year according to the value of the gold in the jewelry. You pay the value of the gold in the jewelry. Right. If you have a jewelry shop, then your shop becomes, your jewelry becomes your stock. Alright? Because of the stock, so you pay on that. So it is not personal jewelry, it is your stock, and then you pay zakah on that. No, it means gold and silver. You pay for gold and silver. The coins or the form of gold and silver, you pay zakah according to all the madhabs.
Okay.
Jewelry, gold and silver, only Hanafi people supposed to pay. And if it comes to stock, I get it. Then the other part is it. But if you have jewelry, which is platinum, you don't pay zakah.
Okay.
And you don't pay zakah on the diamond and the emeralds. So your diamond can be the biggest diamond in your ring, according to Hanafi even. And it is more value of the gold or the silver. Then you don't pay on the value of your diamond. You only pay the value of the gold and silver. But if men are clever and they want to safeguard their wives from paying when they get older, they don't have the money. So don't buy them a gold ring anymore. Buy them platinum. Right? So they don't have to pay zakah on it their whole life forward, inshallah.
Inshallah, well, a question has come through. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Does one pay zakah on the portion of your pension fund that's being deducted from your earnings every month? Shukran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, so pension and provident fund is very similar, and because that is an obligation of, or at least a condition of employment, while you're contributing to that provident or pension fund, you do not have access to that fund, and it wasn't something by your choice. Mm-hmm. It's because of the condition of employment for your retirement one day. You do not pay. You do not have to pay or add that provident fund or valuation of that pension fund as part of your wealth. So as long as you're contributing to that fund, you do not pay on that fund.
Okay, another question asks, it answers to the panel, do you pay zakah if you borrowed your money to someone?
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Debtors. So debtors is another category of asset that forms part of your zakatable wealth. We do look at, however, whether that debtor is a weak debtor or a strong debtor. If it's a weak debtor, we'll say, for example, is that person able to repay you? Are they in any financial situation that would prevent them from being able to pay you? And we usually recommend them to say, well, if that person may not pay you, then rather write off the debt. Because when you write off the debt, you don't pay zakat on that debt. However, if it is a strong debtor in the sense that there's very probable or likelihood that they'll pay you, then you have to include that debt value that somebody owes you as part of your zakatable wealth, and you will pay on that debt receivable every single year until you receive it.
I know that there are so many people still wanting to ask a lot of questions on zakah, but I was also hoping that we could touch on the fitrah as well as the fidyah. So okay. I don't know if you'd like to give an explanation about that, Molina. Also, we have a family WhatsApp group, and so my auntie actually posted the rates, and one of the questions came up as to why is it different region to region?
MashaAllah, Surah Rahman Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa usalli wa usallim wa ala ashraf al mursalin, Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali wa sahbi ajma'in. First of all, fitra is payable for everybody who is alive in Ramadan, whether you're fasting or not fasting, whether you're mukallaf or not mukallaf, whether you're baligh or not baligh, whether you're akil or not akil. All those who are alive in Ramadan are supposed to pay fitra. So the child is born 2 months before they see the moon. for Eid, then you pay fitrah for the child. The person dies 2 minutes before that you sight the moon for Eid, you still pay fitrah for the particular person. Now, normally fitrah is zakah is an individual ibadah. Right? So I pay my own zakah, my wife pay her own zakah. But fitrah is different. The head of the house pays for everybody. So the wife again says has been given relaxation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, her husband must pay a fitrah because he's the person in charge of the house. That's the part. Now we say, but the fitrah is different. Why is it? Because everyone they ask why fitrah is 1, 2, 3, 4 different types of amounts. Because you can pay fitrah in 4 different types of commodities also. Rice, wheat, barley, dates. So they all have different prices. So you get different amounts. Right? Some say, according to Hanafi, Shafi say, take one saw. Right? Hanafi will take half a saw. So, whatever. The idea is not the amount, it's the intention of paying. That's first of all. Secondly, if I pay the amount which has been announced, is the bare minimum amount also. You know, our fasting is so weak. We must pay 10 times the amount, you know. So, because fasting is supposed to lift the fast between the heavens and the earth, right? Allah must accept it further. Because for all the mistakes we have made, for all the wrongdoings we have done in Ramadan, it's supposed to make it up there. So that is the first, the reason why we have different amounts, different commodities. Secondly, different madhahibs, right? But the actual way is not the amount is paid, it's the intention, right? And the amount that is given is the bare minimum amount. Now, fidya, Quran gives you the right, among kana maridan aw ala suffering, fayda bil ayyam al-ukhara. And those who can't make it, let them pay the fidya. Some ulama says give half of a fitrah. Some say a quarter of a fitrah. Right? You see, you got 40 rand, you got 10 rand. And some say 40 rand, you got 20 rand. It is not the amount that you are paying. It's the intention of wanting to do something in lieu of that I couldn't fast. Right. So now who do I give it to? It's it'amul miskin, is to feed the poor. So in my fitrah, now if I give 10 rand, in my mind, can I give a meal to somebody? So the aim must be according to the it'amul miskin, to feed the poor. So you tell yourself, how do I feed one poor person per night if I couldn't fast? Because I couldn't fast, so I'll do something else. So what we must keep in mind is not the amounts. Is your intention about it? Secondly, it's about different commodities. Thirdly, is it practical? Am I so salih that I can pay the minimum amount? Right? Is my fasting so perfect that I can pay the minimum amount? Secondly, the minimum amount for those who can only make to pay it. Now, sometimes a person can't pay. I don't have to pay. I don't have the means to pay a fidya. But I can't fast also. So then I get fidya. I can't fast and I can't afford to pay a fidya. So now Allah gives you can have fidya. Again with fitrah, I can't afford, I don't have the means. And don't say in our world, no, nobody can afford. There are people that can't afford, genuinely can't afford, and they get fitrah. So there's always a means. But even those who are not able to pay fitrah, that are eligible to get the fitrah, it is, they still want to pay. They have said, I must, because I've grown up with this, I have to pay fitrah for Ramadan. But now, getting fitrah.
Marlene, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. Inshallah, when we come back from the ad break, let's continue with that, inshallah.
Perfect.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Ramadan Relief Network on Voice of the Cape 91.3 FM. If you have just tuned in, we have Maulana Hasim Kasim as well as Sister Fairuz Muhammad of Sanzaf in studio taking all of your questions. And it's been quite an education this morning. Maulana, just before the break, we caught you when you were talking about the fidya and the fitra. So if Maulana would like to just expand on that.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The aim of fitra for the recipient is to suffice the person's need for the day of Eid. Zakah is different, is to suffice your needs.
Yes.
Fitra means to fulfill the needs of the poor for the day of Eid. It's not to fill your cupboard.
Yeah.
Secondly, if my mother stays with me, my mother becomes my responsibility first before it becomes the community's responsibility. So if you have made food for Eid and your parents are eating by you, you can't take fitra. Right? We always think of Khifa Ali video viewers and Khifa Ali old mentor. A lot of the old people have money. And we as children, is our responsibility. At least imagine somebody gave my father a fitra parcel. Mm. He said, no skin on my face. Imagine the gift to your father and the gift to your mother a fitra parcel. What do you think? Would it be right?
No.
Because it's our responsibility first. If I see that my mother, you know what is so sad is, and the child will phone in and say, my mother didn't get the fitra parcel. Astaghfirullah. It's my responsibility, not the community's responsibility. So we will make sure that the fitra, the aim of it, is to fulfill the need of the poor person day of Eid. Secondly, it is our as children's responsibility to feed our parents first before the community. Thirdly, it's important, if your fitra don't go to the right person, the recipient, your duty is not fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Maulana, if I can just add on that, and I think this is mostly where the elderly, they need to be educated as well, because I find, like with my mom, she received a parcel. So I said, but now who gave you a parcel? Because clearly you're not meant to receive one. No, they were just handing it out. So when you're giving your fitra to a particular individual or to any institution, you need to make sure that they're going to distribute that accordingly, because the beneficiaries of those of fitra are exactly the same beneficiaries of that who can receive zakah. So as the elderly, do not take a parcel just because they're handing it out and you're thinking, oh no, this is an extra
freebie.
Yeah, freebie or something. Please make sure that it is not fitra that you're actually taking.
That freebies can be fire in the belly. Can be fire in the belly day of Qiyamah.
So Maulana, on that note, who can receive it?
Okay, first, do I have food for Eid? If I do have food for Eid, I can't take it.
So when you mean food for Eid, you are able to have a meal.
A meal. A breakfast, lunch, and supper.
So it need not necessarily, we're not talking about having biryani and all of that.
No,
it's
no,
a
no.
meal.
A meal. Mm. Look, alhamdulillah, as Africans, we are well off, better than other people. But like people might not have meat. Mm. So it is, I'm entitled to it. But as our parents and our elderly, don't every freebie is not halal. If you're not entitled to it, don't take it. Because you are taking something of somebody else's fasting. It is supposed to be given it to those who don't have for the day of Eid. That's what I said, no poor person must beg on the day of Eid.
So now what happens now if somebody has been taking and they listening to Maulana now and saying, you know what, but we can't afford a meal and I've been taking it for so many years. Is there something that they are required to do?
No, it's very simple.
Mm.
The hadith says, Rufi'a kalamu an khata wa nisyan. The pen has been lifted from mistakes and forgetfulness. If I didn't know, Allah was going to punish me. But now I know. Now I can say no. Now I must say no. Right? So if you made a mistake, you didn't know, Allah will forgive you.
Manana, also, is it then per person or is it per family? Because perhaps there's a family of five or six who qualify.
Okay, look,
so can they go and collect individually? Oh.
The real poor person. La yas'alu an-nasa irhafa. Quran says it doesn't go ask. Because in their faces they look very independent, but they are really poor. So we must take care of them. It's important for those who are giving zakah and angels like that, giving out fitrah, is to take it to the people. Safeguard that person's integrity, that person's self-respect. So you know, the imam or the community leaders knows who are poor in the community and who we have and doesn't have. Right? So you take it to them, number one. Number two, if there is a need for more than one parcel, we should give more than one parcel. You give one old lady and a husband that's in the house, you give one parcel. But there's one person who's unemployed, wife is unemployed, and they have five children. Will one parcel be enough? No.
No.
So you give wa ala kulli muqtadirin qadru wa ala kulli mu'sirin qadru. You give everybody on his own capacity. And that is Islam. And this is all in the Quran. For many years it is in the Quran. It's always been in the Quran. You give according to the need and not according to the want. Some people, Allah forbid, Allah save me and save all of us.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that are going around and have a nice feast in Ramadan and they collect pasta from here till there till there. Doesn't make you a good person if you give to everybody. You must know that my fitrah goes to the right person. I'm the wakil of this, the Sanjaf. We are the wakil of other people's fitrah. So we have an amana in our hands to make sure it goes to the right person. There are those who are picking up 10, 12 parcels, you know, like having a nice wholesale cupboard full of groceries for going around. Allah protect me and protect all of us, inshallah.
So just for clarity now, Maulana says that the fitrah is ensuring that the poor person has a meal on Eid. In the case of zakah, who qualifies then?
Zakah, okay, first. Some ulama says is to fulfill the person's need of the day. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala say fulfill his needs of a year. Sayyidina Umar say give a man an X mean develop him from having, you have your welfare seeing to his food now, the emergency net. But Sayyidina Umar say give him a development so that he can become a zakah payer. You know, when you say give a man a fish and feed him for one day, give him a fishing rod, you will feed him for a lifetime. So then I also say carry him for a year, right? So that he can become a zakah payer into the next year. It's like paying person's bursary, man. You have to pay for the whole year, right? So and another year, and some people study long. You know, you can pay at times. You have to take him 7 years to pay his bursary with zakah money, but after that 7 years. He becomes a zakah payer. So that is the difference of who can get zakah and who can get fitrah.
Was there something you wanted to add?
No, I perhaps just want to clarify or maybe just add in terms of what we've discussed before in terms of who can receive zakah. And Maulana has eloquently mentioned it, I think, about last week or the week before as well, because it's a very common question that we get. So if you look at your lineage in terms of your offspring and in terms of where you come from, if you look at those who cannot receive zakah from you are your parents, your great-grandparents, and all of them above you.
Yes.
If you look at the ones that you're responsible for in terms of downwards, would be your children, great-grandchildren, and so forth, including your wife. So those are people that you are responsible for in terms of seeing to their financial needs, all needs, actually. If you look at your lineage in terms of sideways, would be that are eligible to then receive are your cousins, aunts, nephews, uncles, and everybody other than the ones that I just said that cannot
receive. Brothers and sisters.
They are all on the sides of your lineage. You are not technically responsible for them. However, should you have zakah to give, it is usually best to take care of your own first. So firstly to your own family in terms of their needs, because you would know what their situations are. So give to them first before you tend to want to give to the rest of the community, inshallah.
I know that lots of messages are coming through, but I'm not sure if Auntie Abida needs to take a quick ad break, and inshallah we'll be back soon. Assalamualaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Ramadan Relief Network. Myself, Taslima Ali, also joining me in studio, Molina Hasim Kasim, as well as Sister Fairuz Muhammad of Sanzaf. And there's so many questions that are coming through. For one, at least asks, Assalamu alaikum. I want to know if I can give my zakat to my child, as they will be accredited for Hajj, but he's struggling to get the amount because they're running out of time. Now, I think that you answered that just before we went into a break.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, we did, because we said clearly that those who are your responsibility, and your children surely are, you're not allowed to give your zakah. But having listened to the question, I think there would be absolutely nothing wrong in her just giving money to her children in fulfilling, being for them to be able to fulfill their need of performing Hajj, inshallah.
Yes, there would be so much of a blessing on it.
Absolutely, and that amount would just be then deducted from the wealth that she does have. But unfortunately, if she's already done the calculation and she has, for example, 10,000 rand that she needs to disperse as a car, she cannot give that to her child as part of a disbursement.
Just a question though, so the minimum amount is 2.5%, right? So if somebody is wanting to give a bit more than that, is it still called zakah?
Quran says, whatever you want to give more is better for you. Then all will be according to your intention. If your intention say, I'm supposed to give 2 rand as zakah, and I give 20 rand. You say, Allah is ajwadul. If I give 10 times more because of my generosity, imagine Allah's generosity. Allah is most generous. Allah promised, man ja'a bi hasadin falaw ashru amthaliya. You come with one, I come back with you with 10. Tenfold. You know? Mm-hmm. So a person should always look at better.
Doing a bit more.
Yeah.
Another question says, Assalamu alaikum. After a year, I received my late husband's pension money. Must I pay zakah or must I take the money and give fidya on it?
No. If you got your husband's pension money, so it is now yours. Your late husband, so it is now yours. If it is in your care for a full year, you have to pay zakah on it. Fidya, you can't. But also it's important, if you want to do something good for your husband, if he did not pay his zakah, pay his zakah first, because it's now your money now.
Yes.
But so you must pay your zakah if that money's in a year there. But if he didn't pay, then make sure you pay on his behalf. His money now made you rich.
Yeah.
But you need to make sure, as he is now more there, Allah forgive him and Allah grant him Jannah through your actions. Or because of his negligence, you will make right his negligence also. So you pay your zakah. How much can you need? How much do you need to love if you're an old lady? Mm-hmm. If you're a pensioner, you have less needs. Mm-hmm.
That's objective.
Other people will now ask you, but first pay your dues before you become generous.
Can I just clarify, Taslima, in that the money that she received from his pension fund doesn't mean that she must pay zakah on that money. Remember, while he was contributing, he wasn't meant to pay zakah on that fund. But he has passed on and she's now received his pension fund. That is, she's not meant to pay zakah on that money. The only zakah she will have to pay is if she's held it for a year, and she will pay zakah on that because it now belongs to her.
Yeah.
Not the money that has previously belonged to him from this pension fund.
Okay. Another one says, Assalamu alaikum, Imam. What if a man is Muslim, the wife is Christian, and the children are Muslim? Must he still pay for the wife fitrah? Just asking, make dua for her to become Muslim, inshallah. Ameen. Shukran.
Allahumma ahdina wahdibina waja'alna sababan liman ihtada. Oh Allah, give us hidayah and give others through us hidayah. Right? So you only pay for those who are Muslim, your children and yourself, and not your wife. But do give. Maybe through that, Allah might guide her also, inshallah.
Sorry. Another one says, Salaamu Alaikum, can I pay my fitra via EFT to Sanza and reference it fitra? Or do I have to go into the offices?
No, absolutely. These are just means for, as a means of convenience. So if you do feel you want to pay your fitra via EFT, then by all means, as long as obviously the fitra reaches the office before the stipulated time. But that is just a means of convenience. So you don't have to come into the office. EFT is obviously a way that would suit the individual.
I'm just wanting to tell listeners that those questions that perhaps Maulana or Sister Fairuz has already answered, I'm going to give it a skip, but I'm wanting to ask Sister Fairuz if you have a fact page on your web page where people can kind of see these type of questions and understand who's eligible for zakah, how to calculate it. Is this all on your web page?
It should be. Okay. In fact, we also have lots of material on zakah. So if the listener perhaps drives past any of our offices, they can just pop in. And we have these booklets as well that has all the information relating to the conditions and the understanding of zakah. So I'm not too sure as to if that detailed information is on our website, but it's definitely in a booklet form at all our offices, inshallah.
Inshallah. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, trust that you are all well, alhamdulillah. Maulana, my son has passed away 2 months ago. He was responsible for paying his wife and 3 children's fitra. Who would be liable to pay the fitra now?
Okay, first of all, if the wife can pay, because that's always first her responsibility. If the wife can't pay, you as the father of the son, because it is your lineage, right? It is your responsibility, your son's children and your son's wife become your responsibility, so it becomes your responsibility to pay. And the more you do for your child that has passed on, the more Allah will reward your child. I think this is important. We look at it's like my mother's no more there, but I will always try and read Qul Allahu Ahad on behalf of her, you know. And as a father, we should be more conscious of doing good deeds for our children. So day of Qiyamah, we stand in the queue. Mm. Allah must grant. If you want us to enter Jannah together, let's do for one another good things in this world.
Another question is, do we pay fidya on mentally challenged people who doesn't fast or can't fast? And if they are orphaned, who is responsible for that?
Okay, first of all, the mentally challenged children, no, because fasting is not followed on them. Fasting is not followed on them, so there's no fidya. Right. So secondly, if they are orphans, so who took who's the tabanna? Who is the one that adopted the orphan?
Mm-hmm.
So if the orphan is my responsibility, if I took him as an adopted child, mm-hmm. I become responsible.
Okay.
I can't have a lineage, but I'm responsible for him. And if you can pay for any other orphan child, Rasulullah said in the hadith, me Muhammad, and the orphan, the day of Qiyamah, will be like this. And it means that those who love the orphans will be Rasulullah like this twice tight. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Well, Maulana and Sister Fairuz, there's so many questions coming through, and I know that inshallah next week Tuesday you are back in studio with us, but you are having workshops all around the Western Cape as well as in Pretoria and Johannesburg. So I'm not sure if you're wanting to just share those details for those wanting to attend and get the questions answered at these various locations, but perhaps Maulana, you can perhaps answer some more questions with me for now. I think, Sister Fairuz, this one is for you. It says, I have an Oasis account for Hajj and I earn a salary. Do I pay zakah, inshallah?
Okay, so there's 2 questions I see within the one question, is that she has an investment with Oasis. She'll definitely have to include her investment with Oasis because that's one of the zakatable wealth that needs to be as part of zakatable assets. Obviously, assuming that she's held it for a full year and she's had the minimum nisab. In terms of, she also said she has a salary. We do not pay zakah on the earnings we earn every single month. Zakah is levied. Remember zakah, the fact that I've used the word levied, I maybe just want to clarify that zakah is an act of ibadah. It shouldn't be seen as a form of tax because that's not the purpose of what zakah is. So if we look at the salary that she earns, she doesn't pay on her salary every single month. When she actually does her calculation on her zakatable wealth, she'll use that particular date and she'll include all the wealth that she has, whether it would be her Oasis investment, it would be perhaps the cash in the bank, it could be a unit trust somewhere else, it could be somebody that owes her money, and she, it could be a gold Kruger coin as well. Okay. All of that wealth needs to cumulatively add to the nisab of about 5,600 rand. Let's assume it's that. She'll pay on 2.5% on that, not on her earnings during the year. So okay. If she spent it on her monthly expenditure, it's gone. Zakah is not levied on something that you've accrued. It's only levied on wealth that you currently have at a particular point in time, which is your valuation date. And it's excess money. It's money that sits in as an investment in your bank and just appreciates in value. Inshallah. So that's in terms of how she'd be able to do her zakah based on the question, inshallah.
Inshallah.
The other part is when we, for this weekend, inshallah, if anybody wants to know more about zakah in fitrah, we have a workshop at the Husatul Islam Masjid in Stellenbosch, Sunday the 26th. We had it at the Global Mu'mineen Gudut Masjid also. We have it Al Munawwar Masjid in the Retreat. So we have all three masjids, which is like northern suburbs, southern suburbs in Boerland. Right? You know, that's Nima wanted about Senja. What's so nice about Senja? We didn't come here to collect money. We didn't come for any pledges. We come solely to teach people and conscientize every Muslim about this pillar of Islam. It's like Hajj. People would learn Hajj for 6-7 years. They would go for Hajj classes. We would go for classes of spiritual upliftment in Ramadan. But it's before both those two arkans is the arkan of Zakah. So our aim at Sanjev is to conscientize, advocate, teach everybody about Zakah, because as much as I want mercy from Allah, I need everybody else to comply to this pillar of Islam, which takes Allah's mercy. And people don't pay Zakah, Allah's wrath comes down. And people pay Zakah, Allah sends the rain down. That is the difference between Sanjev and anybody else. And it's important part is when your zakah does not reach the recipient or the correct recipient, your zakah is not being obligation is not being fulfilled.
SubhanAllah. We have about a minute left to wrap up, Maulana. Just once again, what are the, where will Sanjev be this weekend?
This weekend we will be at the Stellenbosch Masjid, Khuzatul Islam. We will be at the Global Mu'mineen.
At what time, Maulana?
After the from it takes about an hour and an hour and 15 minutes is the presentation. Right? And the Global Mu'mineen, which is at Gudut Masjid, the masjid in Gudut Street. There will be also after the word, inshallah. And by Masjid Al-Munawwar, which is in Concert Boulevard Street in the Retreat. Mm-hmm. So let's learn. If we didn't know it, remember, a day of Qiyamah. Ignorance of the law is no excuse by the law. If I didn't know it, Ya Allah, we as Sanjev can say, Ya Allah, we went extensively around to make sure that we have gone out on air to massages. Wallahi, the course is free. My Shaf Hayruj executive, we are also doing it free. May Allah guide us, inshallah. Wa akhir da'awana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
And Sister Fayruj, are you wanting to add?
Yeah, just lastly in that, alhamdulillah, we had the ladies' zakah seminar on Saturday at IPSA, but we will also be having one in collaboration with Pretoria Muslim Women United next week, Thursday, inshallah. So if there's anybody in the Lodium area,
that's Erasmia area.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I suppose all around Pretoria please do attend, inshallah. That will be at 10:30. However, we'll also be having a zakah seminar on Sunday, inshallah, at Masjid al-Quds in the auditorium at 10 o'clock, inshallah. So for those who cannot attend any of the other zakah seminars that Maulana has just mentioned, please do come to Masjid al-Quds at 10 o'clock on Sunday, the 25th. 26th. Sorry, that's Maulana's birthday on the 26th.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to be celebrating then, right there, Maulana. Well, mashallah, that brings us to the end of the Ramadan Relief Network. Always such an education being in the company of SANZAF representatives. We are back next week, Tuesday, inshallah, with all of your questions being answered. Shukran so much, Maulana and Sister Fayrouz, for joining us.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.